All views expressed on this program are opinion. They do not represent Satori Mortgage, NMLS, 4190, or any affiliate. Please consult with a licensed loan officer before making any home financial decisions.
Welcome to the Mortgage Talk Show. I'm your host, Steve Conklin, and I'm sitting here with Jake Duroff. We're from Satori Mortgage. How's it going, Jake?
Good. Excited to be here.
That's good. Good. What do we got? We got the mortgage buzz coming?
Yeah, an article I found was saying that home equity gains topped $1 trillion in the first quarter of 2008. That is a lot of money going up for equity in people's homes.
Yeah, it sounds like a Wells Fargo fine. Yeah, they, you know, pretty much what's happening right now is that you have a, you know, a market where people are buying again. Home prices are coming back. And, you know, that's creating obviously supply and demand. And with supply and demand, you know, if people want it, it costs more money. And if people don't want it, it costs less. And, you know, I think especially the fact that rates were so low for so long, I think a lot of people, you know, bought homes a while ago, and you know, now we're starting to see, you know, they're starting to see the equity come back.
Mm-hmm. And in this particular article, it was talking about how in Minnesota there was about a $10,000 equity gain in the first quarter of 2017 to the first quarter of 2018. So in this market, it's definitely a pretty sizable number for the equity gains.
Yeah, and I mean that's great. I mean, that kind of helps offset the interest you pay, you know, and the $10,000. I mean, that is, you know, that's pretty incredible. I also read in the article the average rate is what, 6.7%, I think, on a national rate of equity per year. It's going up about 6.7. So obviously, on a, you know, it is also too. I'd want to say, you know, it is certain markets, you know, certain price points.
Mm-hmm.
Us personally, you know, at Satori Mortgage, we're seeing. It's very, very hot. As you know, we had the realtor on the other day. It's very hot as far as, you know, in between 150 to 350-ish.
Those starter homes.
I mean,
those
things are on fire. I think people are gaining equity, you know, hand over fist. It's probably a little bit softer on the higher end market here.
Mm-hmm.
We're not as, you know, the higher end market kind of moves at its own pace in Minnesota. What's the largest state?
It's actually California on this report, $50,000 in gain equity over 1 year. That is a humongous sum, especially considering California homes are already really expensive. Just that much of a jump in 1 year is just crazy to think.
Yeah, that's wild. Also, too, you got to think it's all percentage wise. You know, if you have, you know, you make more money off of $500,000 than you do off of $200,000. So I'm sure that kind of boils into it. What's the lowest state? I'm just curious.
Oh, man, I'd have to look over it here. I'm seeing a couple that are more like four, like in Alabama here and stuff. So it looks like two in West Virginia is the smallest one I'm actually seeing here, looking at the report.
Well, I've never been to West Virginia.
And then the thing with this, too, is with the gaining equity, it just opens up a lot of doors for a lot of different possibilities for people with doing cash-out refinances because you have more equity in your home. Maybe there's the opportunity to get your mortgage insurance off of your home, whether it's, you know, getting an appraisal or if it's doing a refinance that gets that off of there.
Mm-hmm. And we've touched about a couple of those things in earlier shows. And yeah, absolutely. I mean, getting mortgage insurance off your house is huge, especially, you know, if you took out an FHA loan a couple of years ago and your credit's up or for whatever reason. I mean, some people are saving, you know, $200-$300 a month on that. Also, too, you know, paying off debt. I mean, if you have some debt, miscellaneous debt and stuff like that, sometimes, you know, doing a cash out refinance, you know, and consolidating that really helps the monthly cash flow. It's, you know, it's good options. I mean, everybody, you know, everybody's different. The best way to find out is, you know, to come Mortgage Talk Show, come to Satori Mortgage, sit down with one of our professionals and, you know, find out what situation is right for you.
Yeah, and we have some resources that can give a little bit better idea of kind of what the value of your home is. Obviously, the only way is, you know, with an appraisal, but we have a couple tools that can get at least a little bit better idea.
Yeah, we actually have an exclusive tool from, you know, it's kind of a nationwide CoreLogic company. They do a lot of title stuff and a lot of valuation stuff, and we can literally pull your report of, you know, what your home's worth and, you know, what we think, and it's a little bit more in depth than Zillow. And it's free, and I mean, all you got to do is contact us, and you know, we can absolutely sit down with you and look at your options.
Yeah, and then we'll do a good analysis to see what kind of, you know, what we can do for cash flow with that equity, and, you know, what a refinance would look at, and, you know, if it makes sense for you to do anything.
And, you know, before we go to the next step, too, the biggest thing, too, I get a lot of is, you know, should I do a home equity line of credit or should I do a first refi? Meaning, you know, if you do your first refi, that means that your whole mortgage, you know, you're going back into the 30. Where home equity line of credit is more like a checkbook, and so you have access to the equity. And I get that question a lot. And like I said, the only way for me to answer it is really for, you know, to sit down and go over your situation, what your goals are, what you're trying to do, and, you know, come to a solution.
Yeah, and then another thing with it too is something, you know, you have to look at the actual analysis of it, but something that could be an option too, if you get the increase in equity, is looking at that 15, especially if you're dropping off mortgage insurance, because that can get you a lower rate than the 30-year rate is at the moment. So you might be able to get into a good rate, as well as your payment not going up substantially, because you're able to get the lower rate on there and get that mortgage insurance off.
Yep, 15, 20 years, 25, we actually can set it to any, you know, a lot of times people refinances, they'll be 23 years in the loan. I'll do a 23-year loan just so they don't have to recast back into, you know, paying heavy interest. So, all right, well, I think we should move on here. We're going to touch base before we take a break. We're going to touch base. I wanted to bring this topic up today. It's rent versus own.
That's a very popular subject.
And we're
the ultimate decision.
We'll do more of that stuff kind of more in depth. And I want to bring kind of, you know, agents and other people on. But, you know, it's something that's very hot in the market right now. And I mean, I'm getting, you know, questions daily on it. You know, I guess I'm going to start by just, you know, kind of asking Jake, why did you buy a house?
I bought a house because my wife wanted to. No, just kidding.
Yeah.
It was a low rate environment. We're getting close to about 3 years ago here when I bought. It was time. We were having a kid. It was time to get out of renting for us and getting into a home. Definitely heard from my parents over the years, and it was just, you know, the kind of things, you know, you buy a house, you can get equity, you can put some sweat equity into it by fixing up a few things. So we fixed up a few things around our house, and right now I'm in a pretty good equity position right now that I can, you know, whether we look to sell and buy a new home, or, you know, if we wanted to refinance or stuff like that, we do have a couple options available to us.
Yeah, and just your answer kind of shows the different reasons in there. One, you had a financial, you know, so financial you looked at as like A, gaining equity, and B, kind of, you know, it's a low rate, right? So your payment's low for what you're buying. You know, financially, as we say, everybody's a snowflake. You don't know. For some people, it makes sense. Other people, it doesn't make sense. You know, that's a huge part financially. You know, gaining equity, like we said, you know, it's 6.7% on national average right now. That's always nice, you know, but also too, I have been part of the negative equity generation where I've seen, you know, houses lose a lot of value too. Mm-hmm. So, you know, so financial, that's number one. You know, number two, what I really heard in there too is lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's different. You know, everybody... You know, I think it used to kind of be the generalization of like you graduate college or get a job or whatever. And then, you know, you go and you move to the suburbs and you buy a house, you get married, you have kids, you know, you pay off the house, you live there for 40 years, 50 years.
The American dream, so to speak.
Yeah, the American dreams. And I don't know if you've been downtown Minneapolis lately, but you can see that is shifting drastically.
Mm-hmm.
You have a lot of higher end rentals coming in, which basically is telling us that, you know, people are starting to, you know, rent in the city versus, you know, buy other places. And I think that's a huge thing too, is people, you know, you have to figure out what your lifestyle is. You know, do you want, you know, are you around? Do you want, you know, sometimes you can buy a condo, but sometimes it's just nice to rent. And you know, again, lifestyle, you know, children, marriage, all that stuff really plays a role. Really plays a role into it. But I mean, that's, you know, there's a lot of questions. I think the best thing to do is to sit down with somebody. You know, I think a lot of people make a rush into trying to find a house. Mm-hmm. I think sitting down and finding out, you know, financially, where you're going to be in 5 years, what do you want to do?
Yeah.
You know, the one thing I can say about what's nice about owning versus renting, I'm actually a renter right now, is owning is that your payment's fixed, you know, for 30 years. I think that's something that, you know, we're moving to a higher rate environment. So to fix that lower payment, I think that's something that, you know, wasn't there. Like you say, you bought in a lower rate environment, you know, but with rents going up and rates going up, you know, locking in, you're kind of hedging your bet, you know, locking in, that's a big factor.
And so it's very much about market analysis too. Every market's going to be a little bit different of, you know, what a standard, you know, one bedroom or a two bedroom or a studio rents for versus what you can get if you purchase on mm-hmm. a 30-year fixed mortgage. In many markets, you can get a lot more house for mm-hmm. when you own. In some markets, it's not that considerable of a shift.
And in, you know, other people I've sat down with, and you know, they actually end up buying a rental property and still rent because they, you know, their lifestyle fits renting, but they want to own something and they put an investment property in their portfolio, which, you know, is actually a very, very smart thing. And again, we'll touch base on this more. We'll probably have some guests, but
it's a big subject. It's a huge more question. Than just a few
it's loaded, you know, it's rent versus own, but I definitely wanted to touch on it because it's, you know, we're getting it quite a bit. So, all right, well, that's it for this segment. We'll be back shortly. You're listening to Mortgage Talk Show. See you soon.
This is Matt from the Green Home Doctors. Do your ceilings show signs of unwanted moisture? Is your home warmer than you want? This means your insulation needs a tune-up and you're leaking expensive air conditioning in the summer. Green Home Doctors analyze your home with specialized equipment and prescribe a remedy that will save you money and save you energy, no matter what the season. Take advantage of rebates from Xcel Energy and CenterPoint Energy and make your home healthier today. Visit greenhomedr.com.
AM 950 listeners, we have a home cleaning company with an offer just for you. They're Blue Sky Services. Blue Sky Services will wash your windows, siding, gutters, clean those black streaks off your roof, and more. Window washing starts at $100. Siding cleaning starts at $199. Call Blue Sky Services at 651-447-4484 to ask for the AM 950 special. If you hear this, you have an exclusive house cleaning offer for June only. Call 651-447-4484. That's Blue Sky Services at 651-447-4484.
Connections Radio Show is all about tapping into our hardwired hunger to connect. We examine meaningful connections to ourselves, our community, and the world around us. By opening the door to innovative insights by a wide variety of interesting guests, we'll make the connections to something bigger than ourselves. Join me, Lori Fitz, your host of Connections Radio Show, and together, we'll make the connections. Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Waking up is easy when you look forward to breakfast, served 7 days a week at the Downtowner Woodfire Grill in St. Paul. Try eggs your way with hash browns, bacon, or sausage. There are 4 delicious varieties of Eggs Benedict that should not be missed, and buttermilk pancakes, waffles, or French toast are always fresh off the griddle. How about a Bloody Mary or screwdriver from the bar? The Downtowner Woodfire Grill is located at 253 West 7th Street with plenty of free parking, or online at downtownerwoodfire.com.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. Our weekly Native American talk radio show will discuss national and local Native American news and events. Local and national guests will help us keep current with Mother Earth, tribal, and Twin City issues. Native American issues are human issues. We invite all people to walk hand in hand with our struggles, victories, and achievements. Listen Saturdays at 2 p.m.
I am Awake. With all the convenient big box stores that sell appliances, why do so many Minnesotans choose Warner Stellion? Check online to learn that Warner Stellion is a Minnesota family-owned business for over 60 years. Warner Stellion sells more brands than anyone else, and our passionate specialists are committed to impressing you so much that you'll refer us to everyone you know. That's our mission here at Warner Stellion. Ask around. Check us out online. And when it's your time to buy appliances, join over 300,000 Minnesota homeowners and choose the specialists, Warner Stellion.
Welcome back to the Mortgage Talk Show. Again, I'm your host, Steve Conklin. I'm here with Jake Giraffe from Satori Mortgage. And this is the segment of questions. What do we got today, Jake?
All right, we got a little Q&A here. First question up, do I need to escrow? And that's from Carolina in Minneapolis.
Okay, so first of all, what is an escrow? An escrow is your insurance and property taxes tied into a payment. So when you make your mortgage payment, you're also paying for those, you know, additional things as insurance and taxes as well. And it's kept in a special account at the lender. Whoever's servicing your loan, it might be your original lender, it might be a different lender, they do sell off, and they, you know, they're not allowed to touch it, spend it, make money off of anything. It's basically sitting there, and what they do is they'll pay your insurance costs and your taxes every year. So basically, you write a payment, and you don't have to worry about it.
Mm-hmm. Yep, they release the funds.
Yeah.
Yep.
Now, people that, you know, now some people choose not to escrow. You know, we see it a little bit more on, you know, higher balance, you know, higher end homes, things where escrows can be, you know, $20,000-$30,000 a year. Mm-hmm. People like to control their money, which it's good. It's again, you know, it goes back to the snowflake analogy. Some people, you know, absolutely totally makes sense. You know, there's, you know, use the money to make some interest. You can put in CDs. You can do, you know, there's other, you know, creative opportunities. Other people, I'm kind of like this boat. I always like to make my payment and I like to forget about it.
Yeah, it definitely simplifies things a little bit and you don't have to worry. You know, maybe you thought that $20,000 was going to be around and then it isn't, then you run into a problem. Well, if you were doing the escrow, you would not be. And then another part of this equation too is that it can come down sometimes to where your credit score is, because if your credit score is low, it's not even an option most of the time.
Exactly. Low, and then loan to value. Mm-hmm. Also too, and loan to value is how much, you know, your home's worth versus how much you owe on the property. Also too, we also have to think about loan types as well. On an FHA loan and a VA loan, there isn't options to not escrow. So you have to escrow. Certain loans, that it's really just not an option. But generally, if you're a lower loan to value, and you know, you have a higher credit score, you don't have to escrow. Which, you know, again, I've seen, you know, we're doing a loan in Houston, Texas, and you know, I think it's the taxes are about $13,000 a year. And it's like, well, you know, I understand if they don't want to escrow, that's $13,000. They can, again, put somewhere and make a little bit of money off of it and then pay property taxes.
Yeah, that definitely changes the equation too. And then also, whatever the environment is for interest, mm-hmm. that you can do by putting into savings or, you know, the person's preference for investing as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All righty. Well, I think that's, you know, and we'll probably cover it a little bit more, but I think that's a good thing for escrow. So thanks, Carolina. What else we got?
How does locking a rate work and when should I do it? And that's from John in Houston.
Okay. So I'm assuming John's talking about mortgage rates. So, you know, when you lock in a mortgage, so basically what happens is you first sit down with, you know, a loan officer, and they go through, they're going to run you through your options. You know, at Satori Mortgage, we like to give, I always like to try to give four options. Sometimes there's a lot more. Sometimes there's just one. But there's also definitely different types of rate options. Mortgage rates do change every day, up and down.
Multiple times a day.
Yep, correct. Just like the stock market. And basically, locking is when you tell a loan officer, that you want to lock. Now you're locked into that day. And there can be durations too. You can lock for 14 days. You can lock for 30 days. You can lock for 45 days. You can lock for 90 days.
And you're generally going to have to pay a little bit more for the longer the lock.
Correct. The longer you hedge the lock, meaning the longer you lock for, the more it costs. So a 90-day lock is a lot more expensive than a 15-day lock. And, you know, that's, again, that's, you know, sitting down with, you know, a professional and really running through options like, you know, when to lock, what, you know, why would you lock? How long do you need to lock for? Also, too, once you do lock, that might change your bottom line as well, you know, because it might change your credit. It might change, you know, just closing costs in general, right?
Yeah, and the thing with it, too, is just you're hedging your bets against having the go beyond the lock before when you finish the deal, too. That's the thing about it is if it's a little bit easier deal and there's not as many moving parts to it, a shorter lock is going to work more often than if it's a really involved deal. It's going to take a long period of time. But again, this is where you want to consult with an expert. It's not something that generally people try to play the market themselves because they generally don't have as good a knowledge base.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and I would say again, that's, you know, everybody's different. I have tons of people that love to play the market. Mm-hmm. They, you know, I always, generally, and my team, we always generally kind of put it in somebody's court. My philosophy is if you see something you like it, lock it.
Yep.
You know,
it might not be there.
If you read it and you can understand kind of how rates work and go up and down, or you just kind of want to gamble, some people just like doing it, let it ride, yep. You know, but generally if you like it, lock it. If you want to gamble, let it ride.
Yep, it's individual preference on it, but it's just one of those conversations you have to be comfortable with your decision either way.
All right. Well, I think that was a good question. So thanks, John. And what's our next one?
This is a question I have, actually, and I hear it quite often because it comes back.
Jake from Maple Grove?
That would be Jake D., Maple Grove. Because it's just one of those things that people heard that it was very scary from before the collapse that a lot of people ended up with problems with is there a prepayment penalty on this loan?
I'm not 100% sure on this, but I'm pretty sure that Minnesota's outlawed prepayment penalties on qualified mortgages. So qualified mortgages is something that's pretty much your standard loan. I haven't seen a prepayment penalty in a long time. We do some creative renter cash flow loans, their portfolio stuff, higher interest rates for renter or for landlords, people that are buying homes and stuff. Those I've seen with prepayment penalties, but you know, in the past 10, it's only been 10 years. In the past 10 years, I haven't seen, you know, a prepayment penalty.
Yeah, it's definitely not common. And the majority of loan types is just not there. Whether, you know, states have put laws in effect or not, it's just not something you see for the most part.
And honestly, I get the question quite a bit, and I know our team does too, is, you know, can I pay off my loan?
Mm-hmm.
What, can I pay off my loan early? Can I put more money into my loan? And it's like, yeah, absolutely. That's like the best thing you can do is, you know, is pay off your loan.
Yep. The principal payment is what we call it. If you can put mm-hmm. more payment towards the principal.
Yeah. Even if it's $10 a month, you know, the more you put there, you're going to be in a better position.
You could be amazed at the end how much interest you can save by just putting that $10, $20 a month to it.
And so, yeah, Jake, to answer your question, no, there's generally not prepayment penalties on standard loans anymore. You know, if you have any questions or you see something that you're really not sure about in the closing package, or you know, there's riders because they actually need something filed at the county that says it's a prepayment penalty. Yeah, I mean, you need to, you know, if your loan officer won't answer that question, find somebody that does. Don't sign that. So, well, that was a good show, Jake. I think we're signing off here. So. Have a good weekend, and thanks for listening to Mortgage Talk Show. You can find us at themortgagetalkshow.com.
All views expressed on this program are opinion. They do not represent Satori Mortgage, NMLS 4190, or any affiliate. Please consult with a licensed loan officer before making any home financial decisions.